Welcome to the Sixers Mania podcast, the sweatiest edition, as we are both back from the gym, I believe. I'm your host, Will Coffrin. Joining me, Justin Maltz. Maltz, how you doing?
Let me just say, I got out of the shower feeling phenomenal. That's just fantastic. So how am I doing Sixers-wise? It's tough quite. To even think. I can't even. It's just, it's bad right now, man. Every offseason we go in with some high hopes and we hit the lowest of lows. And it just seems like it's a continuous circle. And we're back at it. It's Ben Simmons 2.0.
I was going to say, how the fuck are we the only team that's had like a holdout? Like, I know the Sonics had it in the 70s. That was like the first guy to do it. I think it was the Sonics until Simmons did it, of course. But like, fucking 2 years, twice in 3 years, got someone holding out. Except this time the guy's older. He sucks. Well, I guess Simmons might suck too. And he's not under contract.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck? So obviously what we are alluding to, you know, I know Harden's requested a trade before. However, it has gotten more volatile. This happened a few days ago. I believe it was Monday. We tried to get in a pod then, but couldn't happen. Harden was in China in a basketball camp where, believe it or not, he has fans. I just can't imagine being a fan of James Harden. Like, do you really enjoy watching a guy
big time fans, by the way,
in place,
big
whatever.
Time fans.
And in China, which I do think is important to note, especially because it's Daryl Morey, which obviously China, not a big fan of Daryl Morey after the Hong Kong, free Hong Kong tweets in which almost got Daryl fired and lost the NBA millions. He's just at a group and Harden's like, I will never play for Daryl Morey's a liar. I will never play for an organization he's a part of. And he said it twice to make it pretty clear. People thought it was like AI generated at first. And then there was two angles and Shams tweeted it. And it was like, oh, this is legit. And it is a wild thing, I think, for a player to say. I don't know if it helps him get traded or not. I don't know. Give me your thoughts. I talk a lot about Harden.
My biggest, before I even go into what he said, it's also the setting. It's such a random place to announce that, like, hey, fuck my GM. It's such a random place. Now, I understand, of course, why Harden's upset and kind of where the issue lies. And you know, that's rightfully so. But at the same time, like, what a weird just setting to, hey, I'm at a basketball camp. By the way, fuck Daryl Morey, basically. Like, that's basically what he said. It's just weird. It's weird, man. But this is kind of what you get when you have guys with big egos. And obviously, James Harden's not what he was in Houston, although I think he's still a solid player. I didn't say superstars.
Right, but you're not. You don't want to pay $40 million for a solid player. That's how you get Tobias Harris.
Correct. And yes, we already have one of them. We don't need two. So yeah, we're kind of back to square one, but it's just what a weird setting. And I mean, hey, the one thing the Sixers are good at, man, every offseason, you know, they're going to be in the headlines for something, whether it's positive, which it's usually not.
Right.
They're in the headlines.
And so I just want to say a few things about that too, because it's been the reports and why. So obviously you said Daryl Morey's a liar. People can think what they want of that. We could obviously get in trouble if he's just like so anti-Morey, he's like, fuck this, I'm gonna get evidence. If there's any sort of evidence alluding to the fact that there was a handshake deal that we'd give him a max contract, I don't think there's any evidence. I'm not saying that it didn't happen. I'm just saying I don't know if there's any evidence of that handshake deal. If there's
the lawyers
text or whatever. Yeah, I am not a lawyer, so this is not my expertise here. But so that's option A that he said, which is insanity if he thought he was getting a max contract. Option B is that Daryl said he would trade him immediately if he opted in. Like, because I said this to you, I think it was the last podcast we did, where I was like, oh, this is the best case scenario where he opted in so we can trade him so we can get something for him. And I still think that to be the case, but maybe Daryl's just being a little too stingy. And I could see it being either one, but what do you think?
Yeah. No, I agree. I mean, I think at this point, well, number one, they have to trade him. I'm sure we'll talk about kind of the future of the Sixers and where we go.
They had to trade him before, though, too. Like, I don't think it really changed.
Yeah, but I understand the whole opt-in and then, okay, let's find you a better place and a better situation where you're happy and at least we get a return that we think is fair. And I guess at this point, you know, Daryl Morey wants, I've heard reports of course, like a star player end picks and this and that. And which is exactly, which is not happening. It's not realistic for this version of James Harden, where he is at in his career. It's not realistic. So that's kind of the problem, the dilemma. Maybe, you know, Morey's like, wow, we can get more than we think for this guy. And obviously the market is not there for James Harden. So at this point, we're kind of just sitting, you know, with our hands on our knees and just kind of waiting it out. But I don't know what's going to come. The bottom line is you can't have a guy sit out all season. We've been through it before. You know, we literally have seen it before with Ben Simmons. We were through this where we had Embiid, who could have made a case for MVP that season, since he didn't have his, you know, second best guy on the team playing. It's round two. It just keeps going. It's just not fair to Joel and the rest of the Sixers. It's just not fair. But
and I want to preface this. You obviously know this. For people that don't listen to every episode or whatever, first of all, welcome to the podcast. Second of all, I'm biased. James Harden is my least favorite player of all time. It used to be Steph Curry, but then Steph Curry proved me wrong.
All time is unreal,
James Harden,
man.
He was my second least favorite player, and then we traded for him. So
that's absurd.
I'm obviously pretty biased.
Jesus.
But he, like, what was he thinking he could get a max deal? And also, he opted in. If he really wanted out, like, take less money and go to the Clippers. He's obviously about his money. Nobody was willing to give that to him. It doesn't look like the Rockets were even willing to give that to him. They paid Van Vliet instead. They paid Dylan Brooks instead. There was no market for him. There still is no market for him. Even the trade market is difficult to come by. The Clippers are really the only team that's been linked. Now, granted, that's because he's kind of said he only wants to play for the Clippers. I think he would make his life a whole lot easier if he said, hey, I'm willing to play elsewhere. And even, like, if he's that anti going against the Sixers, you go elsewhere, you play there 1 year, you can sign with the Clippers a year later, or wherever, you know. He put himself in this mess. Don't opt in, then, is what I would say to James Harden. And if you thought you were worthy of that contract, then I don't know, maybe get in fucking shape. You failed miserably for a decade in the playoffs. Maybe change how you play the game. He has never adapted anyway. He's a total fucking fraud. He is, you know how people, and I know I'm pro Westbrook, you hate him, whatever.
Here we go.
People talk about Russell Westbrook like he's just this, like, a perpetual loser. Russell Westbrook's a dog. He shows up in the playoffs. Well, at least try. He might shoot inefficiently. James Harden shoots inefficiently and also, like, quits in the second quarter.
Yeah.
Say what you want about Westbrook, he doesn't quit. James Harden quits every year.
I agree. The player on the court is different. The personalities are different. Keep going.
He is the biggest fucking, okay, of, like, very good players, he's the biggest fucking loser of all time. He's like if Bradley Beal was slightly better, or if,
okay,
you know, like
this is unreal. You laid it on the man.
Just get ready for the take segment. But I'm just saying, like, he is the biggest fucking loser of all time. I cannot stand him, obviously, but, like, he quit on the team. It looked like against the Heat series. Now, under the Heat, it was like, all right, this is his first year on the team. You know, his new acquisition. Like, I was grasping at straws to give him any sort of a pass. New offense, whatever. Doc Rivers sucks. I guess that part still remained against the Celtics. But I don't really think Doc did a bad job in the most recent series. He was awful. The only reason he sometimes has good games is if the shot goes in, but he still goes about it the wrong way. He's not really getting space on any of his dribble moves, and he's kind of just launching contested threes, and he's not a particularly great three shooter. He's around league average. He just shoots a lot of them. So it depends on, like, you know, personal preference. Would you rather have a league average guy that shoots a ton or shoots slightly less, but higher percent, and whatever. Not going to get into philosophy of basketball, but, like, he's not a great shooter, takes a lot of threes. He's not willing to shoot off the catch, dribbles the air out of the basketball, ditch it to a teammate to take a bad shot. He's occasionally a good passer, but he's extremely lazy. Of course, a lot of it falls on Joel. I'm not single-handedly blaming Harden for the playoff lows.
He got us some wins, too.
It is absurd that he had these demands. He obviously has no market, and now I'm wondering, like,
but there had to be, some back door deal. There might not be in proof, right?
It could have been there.
But there had to be something. If he's calling Daryl Morey a liar, there's a motive there. There's something that Morey must have said. Hey, you know, well, yeah. I mean, he came here. That was big. One of the big reasons is because of Morey and that connection. So, and they were always a package. Morey and Harden. We heard it all off season. You know, previous season before. But there had to be something back door. It was like, hey, you know, we're going to take care of you. So one way or another, you'll be taken care of. And it seems like at this point, you know, obviously we got the report a couple of days before that Harden made this, you know, big announcement calling out Morey that basically trade talks stopped at least, or they paused and the market isn't really there, which we expected. I mean, that was kind of known that, hey, James Harden's not the same guy that he was. And, you know, like you say, you can call him a fraud, this and that. And for sure, he is not close to what he was. Although I think you can still get something in return of value, maybe not a superstar. And you saw, like you mentioned with the Rockets, the league is trending younger. The market for Harden is not there because not only I would say of his play, which has, you know, has progressively got worse, but his age too is a factor. He's only gonna get old, right? So at this point in his career, who's left? I mean, you talk about the Clippers, which are an option, but there's not a ton out there.
Well, so you said the league's trending younger. They didn't even go that much younger than Harden, you know, like I guess like 5 or 6 years is a good amount, but like, well, Van Vliet, it's not like Van Vliet's young. Like, I don't expect Van Vliet and Jalen Green to be on a championship team together. Now, granted, that's because
get a couple seasons. He can teach. Yeah. I mean, even though Harden could be the same, but you know,
but that's what I'm saying. Like they got Van Vliet because they're like, Harden sucks.
I think toxic ego. I think the ego, I'm James Harden, the brand.
Well, he makes his teammates worse. So yeah, besides PJ Tucker and spot up shooters.
Perhaps, but when you bring a guy like James Harden, you're not just getting the player; you're getting the brand, James.
The trade request.
You're getting the shoe. You're getting the beard. I mean, you're getting a personality.
The terrible hair.
It's different than when
Strip
you get Fred VanVleet.
Not getting in shape.
No offense to Fred
VanVleet.
Quitting
in the playoffs.
No offense to Fred VanVleet, but he is not. Not to say he.
NBA
he might
champion
be on the
Fred
same.
VanVleet?
He might be on the same level, if not better, than James Harden as a player. But the thing is,
he's better. James Harden is the worst. If you're paying him a max contract, James Harden's the worst player to build around in terms of guys that get max deals.
That's fair. But I'm saying the reason I'm saying that the Rockets didn't even consider probably James Harden when the report's sure this, that, and they went with Fred VanVleet over whatever the deal may be, is not only because you get the player James Harden, who's slightly worse for sure. I mean, you can disagree to agree, whatever. We can go about that all day. But the bottom line is you're getting the personality that comes with James Harden. It's a lot. And on young guys like Jalen Green, like Sengun and some of the other pieces they have in Houston, it is different. So it's hard to kind of have this, I'm gonna dominate the ball. And, you know, just his style on and off the court, it's a lot to handle. And that's why I think we haven't had a trade yet. You know, Harden would have been gone months ago if this was the case, but it's not because people don't want the player or the person the brand that comes with Harden. That's the point.
I think it's
the biggest
similar
thing.
To
more
Kyrie,
than the player. More
except,
than the player.
You know,
except
Kyrie's
good.
Slightly younger
Kyrie's
and
now.
Maybe even has had playoff moments. He's an NBA champion. He hit one of the biggest shots in finals history. Like,
correct.
What has Harden done? Harden is like, and I don't want you to take offense to this comparison, but people, because I'm going to insult your guy right here. People are just fucking year after year fooling themselves into thinking they can win a championship around James Harden. The moment you sign James Harden to a contract,
you
have a 0% chance of winning a title. And even I thought the Sixers could maybe do it just because of Joel, but I don't think even Harden as a number two, he just can't do it. Like,
I can't wait till
we
trade him
to
like the Suns somehow and he's like in the finals. Yeah, Harden. Right.
I don't care. I will gladly be wrong. And honestly, maybe he could do it on the Suns because he'd be their sixth man. But anyway, this is the comparison I'm going with. It's like for Kirk Cousins, okay? Except Kirk Cousins is a wonderful human being.
Yeah, he is.
Besides maybe some certain views, but come on.
Prime time Kirk, baby. Prime time Kirk.
Kirk, it's like Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins has one playoff win?
Perhaps.
They have like the same resumes. Kirk Cousins' stats, if you look at the regular season stats compared to Tom Brady, they're comparable. He just sucks in the playoffs. Like,
it hurts me to say this.
And that's what James Harden is, and teams keep building around him, paying him a max salary. It's like, huh, we can't field the team good enough because we're paying this fucking loser this much money. And
we had
a guy who's better in Joel Embiid, and we still couldn't do it.
It's funny because the Kirk Cousins comparison actually isn't crazy at all. It's just that's what I'm talking about, though, where the reason he's regarded so high, and then I mentioned that earlier, is because of the brand that comes with Harden. It's almost like if Kirk Cousins was marketed to be like Joe Burrow or Josh Allen or one of those guys that's like another level, but it's Kirk Cousins. Like, that's where you're getting the talent of the player, but the brand with the guy. It's like, oh, people think of James Harden, like, oh my God, James Harden. It's like, No. And people see that. Obviously, GMs and scouts and the guys that are making the trades understand what James Harden is. And that's part of the reason that we haven't made a move or there's nothing out there. And Morey doesn't want to just toss him away for absolutely nothing. Rightfully so. I mean, we need something in return. I mean, that right? We have to. What are you going to do? Like, what's the next steps?
Yeah. I'm just throwing this out there just as an aside take. Kind of just, you know, came to my mind. The biggest red flag of James Harden's career is the strip club thing. I'm 23. I've never had any desire to go to a strip club because I feel like I'm beyond that. James Harden is 36 and still going to strip clubs. Like, immaturity, clearly thinks his way is the right way. I don't know. There's a lot of sides.
Listen, man, he's got to take his mind off of basketball, right? Come on. Cut the man some slack.
There are other ways than going to a strip club that you can do that. I don't know.
Oh, man. Just James Harden cracks me up, though.
He's one of the weirdest players in NBA history, and he sucks and doesn't show up in the playoffs, and he's delusional.
It's funny because he will still go down as like one of the best scorers in the game ever, probably. I mean, there's a lot of lists that say that. Like,
I mean, if you're going in the regular, yeah, Daryl said he was better than Michael Jordan. But
we know that's not true. But like, as looking a scorer, at the
regular season, sure, but also like,
yes,
he just took a lot of shots and drew fouls in an era where they
maybe he had his seasons more. And his moments. We got James Harden, like Philadelphia gets most of their stars at the end of the career when Harden's got about 2-3 years left. And this is it. This is where we're
honestly,
at. And unfortunately, you're seeing a shell of what he really is. And that's kind of where we're at.
We only get the watch stars for the teams that I root for. I feel like the Eagles are doing fine.
The Eagles are doing tremendous. They draft well. They develop guys. It's like
I can't speak
franchise.
For Flyers. Flyers a piece of paper, but. Yes. You know,
sure. Technically, yeah.
I don't know. I don't know.
Whatever. Squires. Yeah. Got
Flyers
it.
Mania. I don't know. It just seems like, I don't know. Just in comparison, like doing this cross sports comparison, like Trey Turner, fans rallied behind, and like Trey Turner seems like this has really been bothering him, his slump or whatever, and he's working to get beyond that. And Trey Turner, by the way, he also hasn't been stellar in the playoffs, but it's like, wow, he's just going about it the right way.
Yeah,
the antithesis of what James Harden's doing. He's just never done anything. I don't know.
Yeah,
his career's been slipping, and he's like, eh, whatever, Doc Rivers, I'm fine. I'm doing me. What? I don't know. I want to transition real quick. So the other bit of news, I think that does it on James Harden. By the way, I would take like a first round pick and just get rid of him at this point. I know this is pretty much our last shot we have. However, I think a first round pick is more valuable than James Harden. In all seriousness, I mean, do what you can. If you think you can extract more, get more out of it. But like, if you were to ask me, would I rather have a first round pick or like drag this on and, you know, maybe get a little bit more, but like nothing, like whatever, I'll just do it now. Like, I don't, whatever.
Yeah.
A first round pick is a bigger net positive than whatever.
But, yeah. I mean, it's just,
Yeah. No, you can go ahead. On that.
It's a shame. It is because, and I know what you mean. And honestly, you might not be wrong. It's just when I look at it and when I look at making a trade, I look how it affects either players and the team in general. And yes, I mean, I don't want to say it sets you back, but I mean, at this point, you're forced to kind of make whatever thing, you know, whatever, the best trade possible, whether maybe that is one first rounder, that's all you can get for James Harden, which, like you said, if it's there, you have to take it if it's the only thing available. But it does kind of, I feel like it sets you back. I mean, right, you have Joel Embiid.
You have to reroute that pick elsewhere. They have like maybe another pick they can trade. You can look into seeing what you can do with Maxey, maybe Melton, like literally anything, and then pray for cap space to save you. Like, but there's no good options right now.
However,
probably fucked.
They have to. Yeah, they probably are correct. They probably are fucked anyway. But like the only way, not even out of this, but to make it like somewhat salvageable is where you. You have to go into the playoffs next season, whatever that roster is going into it, with at least another guy outside of Maxey and Embiid that you can be like, okay, we can rely on him. Somewhat.
I don't think they can.
I'm not saying
I don't think they can get that.
And that's the issue. And that's
like you're not including Terrence Mann as that, right?
No. I mean, I'm having Terrence Mann like below Maxey. It's like, oh yeah, nice, Terrence Mann, cool. But
yeah, I don't think you're getting a player that's currently better than Maxey for James Harden.
Yeah,
I also think Maxey's very. Good right now. I don't think James Harden is better than Maxey. So
and like we said though, I think if that trade was there, but so there's a player, but it would already happen. You know,
right.
That Maxey player that's better that would already happen. So
well, that's my point, and that's kind of why I'm saying like you get first, you figure it out maybe later. It you know I think it might like they're probably fucked. That's why I'm saying like they might have to trade Maxey as much as I don't want to do it, but you know, I've thrown this around. Like, if you get, and granted, the Nets asking price seemed absurd, so I don't think this would happen. But hypothetically, if the Nets gave you Mikal Bridges for, Mikal Bridges and Spencer Dinwiddie for Tobias and Maxey, like, you might have to do it just because it's hard to find those wings. Mikal Bridges is probably better than Maxey right now. Has a definite need, and then you can, you know, at point guard, you figured out with Melton, Beverly,
yeah,
whatever, you know.
And make some other trade. What about Harden, though? What's the deal with Harden? Where's that?
That's whatever you get from Harden. At first, I was thinking, like, oh, maybe try to make it work with Harden with that group, but, you know, if you can, you can just find these guards more apparently. That's why I'm like,
no,
I'm,
you can.
I sound like
you can.
I'm pro trading Maxey, but it's like, you know, look at like the Celtics, for instance. Like, they had Marcus Smart, Derek White, Malcolm
Derek
Brogdon.
White, I hate
like
that guy. Yep.
And they got White and Brogdon very easily. And Smart, they just traded. Like, I mean, they didn't even really need him. So I don't know. I just think, like,
no, it's a good point. It's harder to get wings. I mean, we've known that every year we go into, like, hey, who's our, like, where's our wing depth? Like, we go into the season every year.
We had Ben Simmons.
Tobias, kind of.
Yeah, Tobias is a powerful.
We think Tobias. It's like Tobias powerful. Like, hey, we think we have Tobias, and that's pretty much it. We have McDaniels for about 10 days, who barely played anything.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, he wasn't good, but he was just a wing. So it's like, we wanted him to be, we wanted to like will him to be good, but he's just wasn't good enough. And we still should have retained him, by the way.
I'm disappointed in that one too, which doesn't get talked about enough. Very disappointed. That would have been nice to have throughout the season. I mean, that's someone that like I would have liked to have.
As an aside, no, I did say pray cap space saves you. Caps, there's no one next year unless LeBron wants to go to Philly. So unless we have like another handshake deal to draft Bronny, like what are we doing with cap space? I don't know. I know it makes it easier to get a star, but you still have to trade something for a star, and we don't have something to trade. So like, for instance, I would have signed a guy like McDaniels. I mean, I guess I like Paul Reed a little bit as a trade chip potentially. I don't know. I don't mean to go too much in the future, but anyway, I was trying to get onto this earlier, but got the rail, but that was a good talk. So, the other slight sort of news, and I'll get your opinion. I think it's a non-story, but I'm interested in seeing what
I know
you
what you're
have
gonna
to say.
Say. Yep.
The Embiid taking Philadelphia out of his bio, getting rid of processing, also doesn't seem like he's been a very, you know, it doesn't seem like he's been, besides getting engaged. Now, Daryl was at his wedding, along with Hinkie, I believe. It's been said.
We love him.
Like, I think, now granted, that was before
the old James Harden debacle.
Right.
Yep.
Right. However, he has mentioned that he is like boys with Harden. Now, granted, he said he was close to Simmons at a time, so like, who knows? And I don't know if this makes him hate it, but like, do you think he's soured on Daryl at all? Do you think I do think he's closer to a trade request than he was before, but it's just normal NBA circumstances. I don't think that's anything against Philly or Daryl.
I don't think he's pissed off per se at anyone, you know, specifically. Sure, he's maybe disappointed that, hey, it's come to this with James Harden and Daryl Morey. Maybe like you're looking on the outside and like, hey, damn, this is, you know, that's my sidekick. And it really is, at least throughout the season. Like, that's my guy. That was my point guard throughout the season. Like, it hurts to kind of have this with the relationship, you know, broken apart. But at the same time, he took it out of his bio. I don't think it means a whole lot. Like you said, I don't put too much stock into that. After all, his, you know, username or middle name on Twitter is Troel. So we know he trolls. That's kind of part of what he does. I don't put too much stock in anything Joel Embiid does on Twitter. You know, he's a man. He'll come out and announce if he wants to demand a trade. I think he cares about Philly too much. I think he has, I mean, his name's the process. It's after him. Of course, at some point he's going to move on, right?
I think that's kind of the point. He's the process, not the Sixers. The Sixers got rid of all the process people. Besides, like, Daryl's the closest one to being a process guy because he was Hinkie's guy.
I don't think Embiid's leaving, but I wouldn't be sure. I mean, he's, you know, you have to, at some point, you got to give the guy some help. And we say this every single season, and we've tried and tried and tried, and it fails. They make the wrong moves left and right. So, you know, going into every season, if you're Joel Embiid, you've basically had a new star teammate almost every single year. I remember going into this season, we were like, hey, at least we have Harden and chemistry going in for one season. He's not even back next year. So you don't have, I mean, that's a guy you had for one season or half a season, go into this past season where we lost to the Celtics, obviously, and, you know, came to that. And now we're going to another season where now he's not returning. So you got to fill another guy in. It's like he can't have a consistent sidekick, where you look at the Celtics, and obviously, they drafted and Tatum and Brown, and they grow through the draft, and these guys come up together and they stick together for years at a time. Not every single Ben Simmons, Harden, Butler. Like, why we just keep
even Horford for the Celtics together. He left and then came back.
Yeah, like they have big word. They have continuity. We don't have that at all. At all. The Sixers have it's basically Harden and I'm going to throw four not sorry.
Well,
and
I can't fault them too much for the continuity, because it was like Simmons and Harden, they did that to themselves, I think. You know. And like, what other continuity should they have been keeping? We've had continuity with fucking Tobias Harris, who nobody wants. You know,
Jesus Christ. Yeah, I mean, when they don't say much, a crumble cookie, man, it's easy. But yeah, yes, but I don't know what this what it is with the. I mean, for some reason, I understand. I mean, yes, you can. The Simmons thing, I think he was just a nutcase when mentally, and just the whole fans got
unstable. James Harden.
Yeah, well, you got James Harden, who I thought was, I mean, he still is mentally a little more stable than Simmons, at least where we were. I mean, Simmons.
I don't know if I'd say that.
Trey Young. I don't know, but that's not the point.
Both have held out. Both have had mental breakdowns in the playoff. Harden's requested two trades. Simmons has requested, or three trades. Yeah, this is his third trade.
But
Simmons requested one trade.
I will. I mean, Harden had some lows. Don't get me wrong, but like
it wasn't as bad as Simmons. I know.
Yeah, Simmons had a different level where it's like we're not taking layouts, but you're sick. Like it's just it was confusing. It's like, well, are you purposely trying to lose? But the point is, like, they just can't keep the stars together with Embiid. And if I'm Joel, it's like every offseason I look at this and like, I gotta learn how to play with this guy. And it's a news, and it really is a big learning gap. Like when you bring in a guy like James Harden, who's ball dominant, it took them a couple months. It doesn't happen overnight when you're playing to learn how to play together. They had some games where they look fantastic. They had some games where they looked horrible. But when you play seasons at a time with these guys and get to know them on a personal level and just know their style of play, every player is different. I mean, it's probably hard to play with Joel. If I'm a new guy coming to play with Embiid, Christ, I mean, it's he's getting every touch.
So I want to talk about that. I don't actually think it's hard to build around Joel or do anything. I just think we've done one of the worst possible jobs. So because I think that's actually a common point that I've heard people say. You mentioned like hard to play with. And I do agree it's probably an adjustment, because I don't think most players are used to a guy posting up. Right. With Joel, Jimmy was a great fit, but Simmons was a horrible fit, and Simmons did also not fit with Butler. So, and he was, you know, the future of the team along with Embiid. So it was like, you know, it was understandable why they did what they did, but Jimmy was a perfect fit. He's the only like star player that was a great fit with Embiid. Everyone else has been an awful, like, you know, I'm not saying Tobias is a star, but Tobias is a shit fit. Simmons, we brought in Horford, who plays the same position, you know, like,
I don't think Harden was a horrible fit.
Harden wasn't horrible, better, but he was, but like point. Of point guards, he's a pretty bad fit, I would say.
Yeah.
I just think he's too ball dominant, because he's a guy who always wants, and it's more so, I think.
That's true. He did learn how to play with it. To his credit, though, he did adapt his play style a little bit. A little
okay,
bit.
He adapted he and was terrible at it.
Well, I mean, he had some good games, but okay, sure. Okay, fine.
I don't think he really adapted. I stand by that. I think what happened was he was no longer getting
assists.
I mean, yeah, but he wasn't getting by guys, so he was like passing the rock.
All right, that's fair, too.
When you hold the ball for 20 seconds, you're going to get an assist or you're going to score. That's my – or miss a shot, which he was often doing. That's my logic. I don't know.
I understand. I get it. Okay.
But yeah, I don't think it's particularly hard to build around. I mean, we see guys like JJ Redick and Seth Curry have career years with it. It's like, why don't we go off guys that are like shooters off movement, and we get those guys and we trade them and, or ditch them. We know we ditch Redick and Seth, I understood a little bit, cause he was just, you know, a disaster in the playoffs, and you know, you had to attach him to get rid of Simmons. I understand that. But you know, we don't get shooters off movement. We've never had a star shooter. Like, Maxie is close, but Maxie likes to play really fast, and Joel likes to play slow. I'm not saying Maxie's, like, a horrendous fit, but they definitely have conflicting styles. I think it's just tough to do, because I feel like you don't have the assets, so you almost have to get a damn near perfect fit to be that second star, which is why I've broached trading Maxie before. It's not like I'm thrilled to do that, though, you know? And I would only do it for a guy who's a perfect fit and better now, rather than, you know, because I think Maxie can be a really special player. So, I'm just saying, like, it's easy to build around Joel. We just don't. That's not all on Morey, because he inherited Tobias. Honestly, it's mostly on Colangelo and Brand, but because they set the foundation that was just fucking abysmal. So, I don't know. That's kind of my thinking. And, you know, didn't work with
Jimmy. I know.
Shit happens. So.
Yeah. No, yeah, shit happens. Yeah, I mean, that's the bottom line. It's kind of shit happens pretty much. But we're just, you know, it's very, you can't really write up how bad the team has been managed over the past couple seasons. That's the bottom line, is they had their chances too. That's the worst part. They did. They had some chances to really make this a solid group where you're going in seasons at a time where, hey, we got Joel and X and blank, whoever that is, ready to take on next season. You know, we're coming back. We got this guy, and this is it. Basically, the consistent guys have been Maxey and Embiid at this point, and I guess Tobias, who, like, I'm not even considering really part of that.
Well, he's definitely been one of the stable guys.
He's consistent.
Isn't very good.
Yeah, but I mean, that's
like, he's been there. Yeah, which I guess he's a shooter off movement, but he also doesn't play because Doc hates him, and also he's not, like, great.
Even though I'm very excited for Nick Nurse. Very excited, but keep going.
Me too, which is a shame. Like, it's about this, it. This really it's about should it. Be, like, that is a very positive move we made, and I don't think coaching is everything, but I do think Doc Rivers was, you know, the more I look at it, I do think he was very detrimental. You actually just talked about this and kind of set me off, so I'd be a cheap plug. You don't really know about this one, but I actually am writing, or I'm working on, the 10 biggest mistakes of the last 10 years for the Sixers. And let me just say, like, poorly mismanaged, especially Colangelo and Brand. But feel free to check that out on the Sixers Sense when I publish that in a few days, hopefully. But anyway, yeah, horribly managed. I think Daryl's actually done an okay job. It's just he was given such a shit. I mean, his thing was the Harden trade. The Harden trade was bad, but also it was Simmons, you know? So... he just shouldn't have invested in Harden is my only complaint.
I know
Simmons is looking like the worst contract in the league, so it's like beggars can't be choosers, but, you know, Harden had his red flags, and we should have seen this coming.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right, so I think we're going to take a quick little break, and then we're going to come back with the take segment, unless there's anything else I forgot to mention before the pod. Like I said, it came straight from the
spot on.
So, okay. All right. Thank you for listening to part one, America's favorite segment, coming up soon. All right. Part two. I lied. Two things before takes. I just wanted to ask you, I told you how I was doing like the 10 biggest mistakes over the last 10 years. What do you think is the biggest mistake the Sixers have made over the last 10 years? Just curious.
It's a great question. I mean, my mind goes to the Butler thing, but I don't even know if that's really a mistake because of would you consider it?
Right. I did put that pretty high up in my list, but I also, it's not number one. I think I might have had it too, but even that might be a little too high. I don't know. But anyway, read it when it comes out.
I mean, I had the Butler one high.
I think the Fultz one is more detrimental, but I also don't think that was a mistake because it's like trade up for the guy that fits perfectly with Simmons and
correct,
is the
correct.
Best prospect.
Yeah,
and it didn't cost that much.
Fultz one's below the Butler.
Yeah, with the Butler one, because if you were to tell me, I did love Simmons at the time. If you were to tell me, like, hey, Ben and Joel clearly don't work. I was obviously a Joel guy at the time. I still loved Ben, though. It would have been, but if you were to tell me, like, you can keep Butler, make everything good, and then just trade Simmons, get a haul for him, and then build around Butler and Embiid, I probably would have, like, I wouldn't have been for it, but I definitely could have talked myself into it, and that clearly was the right move, you know? And no Tobias.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
So is that the first one? We also might have been out of our hands, depending on how Jimmy felt.
Yeah, I mean, I put that up there, at least in recent memory. I mean, for me, but I understand your side, yeah.
Yeah. I'll reveal. My number one choice was neither of those, but I'll reveal that in my piece. And, yeah, I think I said two things, but I think it's really just that one. I just wanted to get your take on that one. They're really, I mean, in Sixers land, there's really nothing else. The team is... not looking very good, and whatever. As it gets closer, we'll talk about the season outlook. But obviously, the Harden thing is dominating the news cycle right now. All right, America's favorite segment takes. I'll let you go first, as I usually do. I don't know what this one is. So,
well, usually I have no clue what my take is. I look around my room and think, what can I pick out? And this time, I did the same thing, except it actually makes somewhat sense, and I think people will. Some will agree, some will disagree, but here's my take. My take is that maybe not just Apple Watches specifically, but Fitbits, and mainly I would go Apple Watch, and Samsung Galaxy, whatever they call it, whatever. In that realm, they are extremely overrated. And this is coming from a person that has an Apple Watch. I don't wear it as much as I should, but at the same time, there's a reason I don't wear it that much. I don't find it that useful. It's nice when you're working out. Yes, it tracks your steps, but for when it connects to your phone, it's just annoying. I don't need notifications times two. Cool. Okay. I'll see a text, you know, 5 minutes later than I'm supposed to if I have my watch strapped to me. Yeah. You could put on do not disturb and like that's a nice feature, but I can do the same thing on my phone. So what's the point outside of, hey, it tracks steps and, you know, does some other workout features? It's mainly meant for that, which I understand. And yes, aesthetically, some of them have a good looking. You can change the bands out. It's cool. I just think for the utility and the price, it is wildly overrated. I spent like, this was a couple of years ago when I got it, $350 to $400. It was one of the newer ones, and it's still like a pretty good watch, right? But for $300+, it's not worth it. I'd rather have a boatload of headphones and other items that I could name and pull out of my ass, let's be honest. So Apple Watch and just watches in general, overrated.
So this might be like the worst kind of person to talk about, but like, I've never understood the point of an Apple Watch. I don't have one. I always thought it was stupid. So I agree with you.
Yeah. I figured you would be on that side. I mean, like, it's not that they're dumb. Like, trust me, if someone gave you as like a present, I'd be like, oh, cool. Like, I'd wear it here and there. Mm-hmm. Right. And some people wear them every day, like religiously. Like they're like,
I think people like to show off that they have an Apple Watch is my take on that.
I wouldn't disagree completely, but I guess that can kind of be any watch at the same time. Cause I mean, Apple Watches.
I agree. I think watches are to show. Oh, no one cares about checking the fucking time.
No. But the thing is, like, if you're getting a Rolex, like that's a fashion statement, not only, and that also says like, hey, I have like money, right? That's kind of the purpose there.
Yeah,
sure.
But I feel like everyone like that has an Apple Watch is like, they go out of their way to try to use it, even though it's not actually that useful.
They're like aggressively looking down. I've been that guy. Like,
oh, like, let me, like you mentioned so with the steps. Like, you don't need to track your steps. You just fucking work out. And then if you do cardio for fucking 20 minutes.
I mean, some people like it. And it's cool for that. It's cool. And like,
but like, what are you doing with that information in terms of steps? Like, I know it's cool. Like, look at the goal and you want to keep increasing those steps and whatever. But like, you know if you're in shape or not.
I will say that the most useful thing for it is like, one of the big things I use it for, the texts are like, the notifications are nice here and there.
And if you don't want to like bring your phone to the gym and you just have your watch on you, like I can see that.
Yeah. Or like, for example, like let's say you're walking, your phone's in your pocket and right. And like, you're listening to music. You can switch the songs from your watch. Like there's some,
that is a first world problem. I can easily, I'll reach into my fucking pocket.
Oh, 100%. 100%. It's just like easier accessibility. That's the biggest thing. But overall, is it worth the price? No. If someone gave it to me as a gift and said, hey, here's a watch, would I be like, damn, no? Like, sure. Awesome. Cool. But like, it's not, it's one of the bottom things that I go back and look like, yeah, I have an Xbox, a monitor. I would need a laptop. I'd rather take an iPad, which I have an iPad mini that I use times 10 over my Apple Watch. I just do. And meanwhile, the Apple Watch is much smaller. It's portable, but, and I forget to charge it. It's kind of just like, I don't want to say it's a hassle, and this is definitely a first world problem. Let me preface this by saying it's a very privileged problem to have. I just, when it comes to the watches, right, I understand the Rolex and that thing. And even the Apple Watch, I get some of the features. If you have an Apple Watch, no shame to you. I have an Apple Watch, right? But right. I'm just saying that I think they are overrated overall.
And that's why I do like the take, because you have one. Like, it's
different.
Yeah,
it's right in front of
me.
I'm looking at it as we speak.
I don't, you know, I don't have one. I would agree with that. I think it's pretty good. I think the people that are Apple Watch users will get mad at it, which is always fun.
Let's check the air quality real quick, shall we?
Right. Okay. Yeah. No, it's funny because I do think Apple gets a lot of shit as a company sometimes. And I think it's unfair because I think their products are very innovative and good, like AirPods.
Well, they're the most quality products.
Right.
Yeah.
They are great. Apple Watch never understood it. I'm sure there's a few other things they.
Yeah, I mean, quality like, product never had a direct issue with it. Never had, like, I mean, I. And
right,
I
it's just the point of the item
it's
itself.
The functionality of it. I mean, there's so much you can do with an Apple Watch, right? But at the same time, like, I guess the user should know what they're getting into. So it's not like, hey, you have to buy this, right? I mean, I just think for the overall worth and the hype around them is overrated.
Yep. Okay. It's fine. You know, I really don't want to keep doing things you haven't seen, but this one is like sort of timely. So
okay.
I'm gonna
hear it.
I'm going to do it. So this is actually like a two-part take.
Is this a movie?
No, it's Euphoria, which
I've seen like an episode or two, but okay. Go ahead.
Okay.
I've seen a few.
I'm glad.
Very minimal. Yes.
I assume you only have seen an episode or two because the show is fucking terrible and the people that.
Yeah, it was typically around like other women that I was like with, like friends. Right. It was never like, hey, let's watch this, bro.
Right, when a bunch of drug addicts are like, oh my God, I love the cinematography, and become fucking film experts when they watch the show. Anyway, cinematography is good, but like the people I see saying this are like the people that are watching like Jersey Shore and like fucking. I'm just taking shots at Ashland right here.
I was gonna say, I know exactly you're calling out. Is that real?
No, but I just meant like, you know, if you're watching like Keeping Up with the Kardashians and like whatever, it's like, oh my God, Euphoria cinematography. It's like,
yeah, you live up 76, that type of stuff for sure.
Like, relax. So it's not just that Euphoria sucks, because like Euphoria does suck, but like I feel like a lot of people knew that. Just for instance, like in the season finale of last season, like they had like a dude playing a guitar for like 5 minutes and it was some shitty song. And it was like, we're just going to do this. Appreciate the Apple Watch in the background for on video that we're not releasing. But anyway, Euphoria, like it had shit like that. Also, it was going to take, I think when the last season ended, they said they were going to take 2 years off. And I think like they were like returning in 2024. 2020, I forget when it was. Recently, the best part of the show, Angus Cloud, he tragically passed away, which is like really sad. I'm not trying to make light of that, but he was also the best, the only good part about the show. Every other part was miserable. The plot just is terrible. It's like, we get it, teenagers are doing drugs and having sex, like that was kind of the thing. And you know, with the writer's strike, it's not going to be there in 3 years. If anyone goes back to watch that show, like enjoy watching like a 30-year-old play like a fucking high schooler. Like, I guess it's gonna be, I can't believe people are like in on Euphoria. The second part of that take, like besides it being bad, and you know, I could go on and on of why I think it's like bad, is the people that like Euphoria all shit on the creator Sam Levinson and like talk about how he's a dictator and whatever. Like, it's his show, he made something you love, and you just shit on him. And I know there was a concern with I think her name's Barbie Ferreira. She didn't want to do a storyline involving an eating disorder, and she's a larger woman, and she didn't want to do that. And like, I think that's fine that she didn't want to do it, and I think it's also fine that Sam Levinson kind of wrote her out of the show, because he's like, if you're not, I am paying you to act in my show, I wouldn't have he probably wouldn't have cast her if he knew she wasn't going to do what he wanted. So like, that's fine, she cannot do that, but she can also not act on Euphoria. And people were acting like she had some sort of right to be on there, and that Sam Levinson is this like dictator asshole. It's like, no, he's making his show, a show that you love, and he is like creating the storylines. And yeah, she had no fucking storylines season two because she wasn't doing the one that he proposed. Like, I don't understand why he gets so. And now, granted, apparently the idol was awful, like objectively awful. I know people like Euphoria. I shouldn't say Euphoria is all bad. There's a few good things about it, but like, it is.
Yeah. I mean, I just roasted Apple Watches, so it's fair.
No, but I just feel like the people that act like Euphoria is great, I feel like they just want to seem like they went to film school. You didn't go to film school. You took, like, ketamine at a fucking club, and, like, it kind of reminds you of that. So you're like, oh, yeah, Euphoria. Dumb. Show sucks. Anyway.
I saw episode and a half, two episodes. I really have no comment on whether it's good or not. I could probably tell you it's something that I wouldn't be intrigued to watch, and based off... You know, it had mixed reviews, but that once again goes back to promotion and the way that they are able to hype up a show or product. And this is a case of that, most likely, that it was so hyped up. And there were some good characters for sure, right? Or characters.
There's one good character, and he is unfortunately no longer with us.
Yeah, So
rest in peace.
It's tough. I know. Yeah.
I don't mean to sound like heartless in that respect.
No, I mean, no, you're honest.
He was incredible in that show, and he could have done a lot of great things. And also, a lot of the other actors are also good. I want to clarify, because I don't want to like.
Zendaya is a good actor.
Yeah. Honestly, my issue is with the guy who just defended Sam Levinson. I don't think the show is very good. but people think he's very good, and then attack him. So I don't get it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, the Euphoria hype, I'll never really understand.
It did not have much of a plot, and like, granted, it did like touch on like themes that I don't think a lot of, like, obviously, of course, one of the characters in there is like transgender, and it's interesting to get like different perspectives and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's very progressive, and it starts to kind of capture some people, and then you kind of just, I don't know, if people can get behind a show like that, it just kind of steamrolls into something bigger, and that's kind of where. And look at, like, obviously Game of Thrones is a different level. I mean, no one's comparing.
Right. Like, well, that's what I'm saying. Like, Game of Thrones is great. I wasn't like, oh my god, I love the themes of Game of Thrones. Like, I can support the themes that are in Euphoria. Well, I'm not saying like I support drug use, but like I can empathize with people that are addicted to drugs, and I can empathize with transgender people. But the show is not very good, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Like,
no,
like,
so yeah, I mean, you want to.
I support the themes. I don't support the show because the show sucks.
If I'm watching TV for one reason, entertainment. If I'm not entertained, then I don't want it. Some people might like it. So, right? Everyone's different. So
that's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like a documentary.
It's
an
opinion.
More,
it's a take. Yeah, yeah.
I feel like a documentary is more helpful to society and probably better. Yeah. Like, I don't need to see this like fictionalized version of.
Now, what's more helpful, a documentary or an Apple Watch? That's the real debate that we're not talking about.
Let
to society.
No, documentaries. But yeah, like, the fact I'm even tiptoeing around it tells you all. Like, yeah. I lean right into my takes. I know it's like a sensitive topic and it could make me come across as a certain way. But the show's not very good. And if you're attacking the director, a guy who made it. People do this with Star Wars, by the way, too. Like, people, not as much anymore because Disney Star Wars is horrendous, but like, people hate on George Lucas, who like created this like franchise that is iconic, that a ton of people love. I know you're not as much of a Star Wars guy, but like,
it's iconic, though.
People are shitting on him. And it's like, yeah, and then he sold it to Disney, and now it's worse.
yeah, it's worse, but he got his bag and he did what he had to do, so.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. Goes. Like, if Sam Levinson moved on, I think people would be like, and Euphoria, the people that like Euphoria, if they start hating it, like, they'd be like, oh my God, we want Sam Levinson back. It's like, bro, when he was here, you were just saying, like, get him out. It's kind of like sports in a way. So, anyway.
Yeah, don't really expect the Sixers, who also can't get it together. So,
yeah. I did the same with Jimmy Butler. I was wrong. I learned from it.
Yeah.
I had to connect it back.
James Butler. Yeah, I had to connect it back. Anyway.
Anyway, thank you for listening. Hopefully I didn't offend. This is the first time I'm like actually worried I offended people. Thank you for listening. Hopefully I didn't offend anyone. Until next time, and maybe the take segment isn't canceled. Maltz, what do you want to plug there?
What do I want to plug?
Forgot. You can plug.
Hashtag @PSF_app on Twitter. Check us out. We're over 1,500 on there. We're growing every day. And also Sixers Mania on Instagram, the usual. It's been kind of quiet because Sixers are depressing. But yeah.
Right. And it's been kind of quiet here. I do plan on, coming up with something creative. Honestly, the problem is a lot of my more creative ideas I now just write about. And then I do this whenever there's news, and there hasn't been news in a while. So until next time, I do want to – I'll figure something out in the next – couple weeks, though. The fucking season's almost here, shockingly. So I don't know. Sixers got
me football first. Thank you.
I can't wait for football. I don't have really much faith in my team, so it's just kind of funny. But I'll say go Birds, I guess. I don't know.
Go Birds.
Might edit that one out. All right. Till next time.